so much has changed in the last year. And let's face it, the rate of change is faster than it's ever been before. In today's episode, we're going to talk about five church trends that you need to know for 2022. We hope this conversation helps you reach more people this year and grow. This is the Reach Right Podcast. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right Podcast, episode number 79. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me, as always, is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, not too much, man. Happy New Year. I know it's not New Year yet for us because we are recording this early here to kind of give ourselves some time with family over the holidays and things. But Happy New Year to you.
And Happy New Year to you. And I believe that you're going to be happy on the 1st of January.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So this is coming out just after that time there. But I'm looking forward to this conversation. We did some research and we kind of came up today. We're going to be talking about the five church trends that you need to know for 2022. We kind of do a lot of these kinds of episodes and blog posts this time of year. I know we probably just had, we have it written now, but the blog post is about to go live at least. That is the church statistics you need to know for 2022. We'll be doing a review of some of those in the podcast next week. So look forward to that. We're going to be talking about you and I will kind of share some of our favorites from that list there and what stands out to the most for us. But today we want to talk about just some of those trends that we are noticing, some of the things that we are seeing. 2020 happened. And it, like, to me, it feels like 2020, 2021 was like 1 year almost, right? Like, I don't know if you feel that way, but it 2021 didn't even feel like it was a year. Because it felt like it was kind of the waiting for things to change after 2020, but it was really a lot more of the same. Did you feel that way, or is that just me?
Oh, it's not just you. People are joking about it in commercials I see about saying it's been a year-ish, or what has it been, 2 years? Everyone just, it's been a blur.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's been, 21 months or something since the world shut down back in March of 2020. And it's just been kind of like this, and I think that's what we expected. It'd be kind of a slow reopening of everything. And, who knows, 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now, whenever this winds up, when this is being released, the world may be different for all we know. Who knows what's going to happen exactly? But we have seen that there are some things that we are seeing as trends, and they may be bigger than just trends that happened in 2021 into 2022. Right. I think they're kind of big, maybe 5 year long trends that we've been noticing. But some of them I think are really, they're really important, I think, for churches that we need to be wrestling with here. So I think it should be a good conversation for us to have around that. So do you want to kick us off with the first one?
Yeah. First one is a big one, I think, that people are aware of now, and that's the trend that a lot of people have shifted to working from home. And I think that, the pandemic has obviously played a big part in that. But you and I, even before the pandemic, we've been working remotely and from home for over a decade. Close to it, at least.
Yeah,
at
almost.
Least right around that. Yeah, right around that mark. But so we've seen this trend already, taking place before the pandemic. Pandemic has accelerated it a bit. But it is definitely something that a lot of churches probably want to consider. It saves time. It actually can, even though you've got to be careful and there's some discipline involved with someone working from home, they have to stay disciplined and there's some challenges that we'll be talking a little bit about it, but it does enhance a lot of productivity. It saves time and money. It can. Correct. It can. Good way to put it. Yeah. So definitely.
Yeah. No, I think that, yeah, you, like you mentioned, we've been doing this. ReachRight has always been a company where we work from home. We've right. never owned or had an office. We have a mailbox that we get mail at, but everything yeah. is done in our homes in three different states, and we're all yeah. spread out. And not that we have homes in three different states, but we have right. team members that are in three different states as of right. now. Beyond that, we have contractors that are in several other states and people all over yeah. the place. So so all that to say, we are big believers in working from home, but it is not yeah. without its challenges. And right. I think a lot of churches are just starting to experience some of those challenges, because the churches I had worked in before I started leading my own church, and you know, my time of being a work from home pastor has been long before these last 6 years of ReachRight. It's been, you know, when you and I planted a church together in Austin, Texas, yeah. and mm-hmm. we never had a church office. Or church office no. was, I guess it was my house. It's where a lot of our meetings took place. And that's yeah. Exactly right. So it was, it's kind of always been that way for us. But before that, churches I've been a part of, there was a very 9-to-5 culture that was happening. Yeah. And it wasn't like you had to be in the office, but you just yeah. had to be not at your house from right. 9-to-5. Like, you were expected to be in the office at 9 and then go do the things you have to do lunches and coffees and all that yeah. stuff, and kind of check back in at the office before you went home at 5 yeah. or whatever that time looks like for you. Maybe you started later or worked earlier, yeah. whatever it would be. But yeah. that was kind of the culture. And that all changed in March of 2020 when we, you know, in most cases weren't allowed to come to the church office. Most churches didn't have services for at least a few weeks, some yeah. of them several months, some of them still to this day. So, yeah. You know, things have really changed. But here's what so many organizations are dealing with, is that they all went to a work from home, or anybody that could went to a work from home model. And then they saw that there was a drop off in productivity for some of these organizations, because maybe they weren't set up right. Or really, let's face it, not everybody is set up to thrive in a work from home right. environment. If you yeah. have 4 kids in a 2-bedroom apartment, working from home will have a unique set of challenges that yeah. a single mom, or an unmarried person without kids in a studio apartment or a 1-bedroom, they'll be just fine. You know, that's going to yeah. be a different set of challenges. So working from home isn't the same for every single person. So what has happened is a lot of companies, and this is I'm reading a lot about some of the biggest tech companies, like yeah. Twitter, for instance. They have gone completely remote. They've said yeah. you don't have to live in San Francisco anymore. Live anywhere you want. You don't have to be in the office. So some of these big tech companies are doing it. Other ones, like Apple, they just spent billions of dollars on this beautiful Apple complex that they built yeah. Right there in oh man, it's escaping me where they are, down in the Bay Area, where in Cupertino is where Apple is. So they built this beautiful donut building, and then right after that the pandemic happens, and they're having to talk to people, kind of got this taste of yeah. working from home and really loved it, and they're wrestling with, we need people, our productivity's down, we need people back in the office, especially when we're designing things in groups, like they yeah. kind of needed people to be there. So they're wrestling yeah. with that. And I think a lot of pastors are the same way right now, is that we're yeah. really taking a look at it, in that yes, there's a lot of advantages to working from home. I think most employees appreciate it. Like, if yep. you've had a taste of it, it's really, I'd say for you and I assume for you, it'd be hard to yeah. go back into the office every day now.
Oh, right? Yeah.
If we took a job where we were in the office from 9-to-5 and
yeah.
you just weren't at the house, like, it's something that we're kind of used to. So that yeah. ask would be challenging. But at the mm-hmm. same time, a lot of people aren't really set up for it. So there is a whole minefield here, I think, for churches. And I think it's something that needs to be navigated carefully. But yeah. I think the advantage side of things, what you were saying, like when we said it can be helpful, I yeah. think you can save big time on office space. Like, churches, yeah. we don't maybe need to build the giant office spaces and things that we used to have. Or I know I was a part of a church that rented an office space and spent thousands of dollars a month on offices. So all yeah. of that can go back into ministry and helping your community. So that's a huge opportunity there. I think people love it, but you really need to get some of the systems in place that right. help people stay as productive, if not even more productive. So
right.
I don't know, maybe you can talk a little bit about some of the things that we use to kind of keep us connected, Ian. I know you, I'm sure you are aware of some of the software and stuff we use to stay connected here.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And well, first of all, we use Slack. You and I connect over Slack daily. We have video meetings with other staff here too, and we can reach out to them individually and, you know, on a one-on-one basis, or we can even do that in a big, you know, company meeting setting. So we can do, we use those types of things. One thing too, I'll take a step back, you made me think of too, is that whenever I said productive, I was thinking back about you and I's past. We used to work for, it was kind of more of a corporate feel. We were in a nine to five type, you know, thing with a cubicle. You know, there were multiple meetings each day. We're not anti-meetings. We have them here at Reach Right. But I think one of the things that you and I both found when we started working from home is we would get accomplished in a shorter amount of time what we needed to get done compared to being in an office setting. That for me, that helped me. And I'm a social guy. It'd be easy for me to go walk and talk to someone over here in another department and then get snagged at the water cooler. And then some companies are notorious for having too many meetings and to where you have no time to get anything done that you're meeting about doing. And so that was what I was thinking through that. But yeah, we do things like Slack. We use, Zoom. We use Zoom as well. These are both video, you know, vehicles, if you will. But and I think
we use Calendly. That's been a huge help for us. I think that's really great. And I think that's actually a cool tool for churches to look at. For those that don't know, Calendly is is something where you can have your calendar set up for other people to schedule time in it. If you need 10 minutes or you need an hour long meeting with your children's director, you can see their availability, choose that time on there. Church, you probably ought to use Google Calendar already. I think most people probably use that for their calendaring, or Apple Calendar if you're on an Apple system, something like that. But so there's those kinds of tools, I think, are super helpful. We use Dropbox for sharing a lot of the content and you know, text files and those things, video files. We do all of that on there. So, you know, there are tools that frankly are a fraction of the cost of what it would be to have a building that we met in and an office space. You know, for all of our subscriptions together between all of our software, it might cost us a couple of $1,000s a month for a company our size. You know, for, I think for a church, it might be a couple of $100s a month, which would be a huge savings over what you would normally spend on these kinds of things. So anyway, I think that it's something that I think you probably already are exploring at your church in our audience here. You're probably thinking about this already. We want you to know that you are like every other church out there. You're wrestling with it. You're probably feeling some of the growing pains from it. There's probably people on your team that don't do as well working from home. There's probably people that really want to work from home and insist on it, but you just need to probably embrace it and understand the trend is definitely moving more towards working from home as opposed to away from it. So something to be thinking about. Next one. I think this one is good. I think we need to, as a trend, we need to really work through our thoughts, feelings, desires for online attendance and what that means for us. This is something that we've been continually coming back to here in the podcast, is that I don't think we've really landed yet on a consensus as to the value of online attendance at church. I think kind of where we're at right now is that it's like the ignored stepchild of regular church attendance, right? It's kind of that one that, I mean, they go to church, go to church, but they don't really go to church, right?
So
I think for most churches, that's the case. And I get it. Like, I think that's really something that we're really having to sort out. Because we know that in 2020, every single church, they made this move from having to be weekly every Sunday to trying to do it online to varying degrees of success. We know this uniquely at Reach Right, because shortly before, like probably in 2019, like the end of 2019, 2019, we put out a blog post. It called the Ultimate Guide to Live Streaming Your Church Services.
Yeah.
And that post got like maybe like 30 or 40 hits a week before the pandemic.
Yeah.
And then in March of 2020, that post was getting like over 1,000 hits a day.
Yeah.
People like just looking at this stuff, like, what do we do? Freaking out. So
right.
We know this became really serious for just about every church. There was maybe 5-10% of churches that were doing a good job streaming services weekly before
yeah.
that. But really
yeah.
the question is, what do we do now with online attendance? Where does that fall? How does it fit in with our overall strategy? How valuable is it? Can we actually disciple people that are only attending online?
Yeah.
Can we, does it fulfill people's requirement of not forsaking the gathering of the saints that we're called
right.
to do in Scripture? Are we doing all of that? So I don't know, like, I don't know that we're having an answer for this in this conversation
right.
here today. We're just pointing out that this is a trend that every church is going to have to wrestle through.
Right.
And we need to know that the trend is not going to be reversing. There's not going to be, I mean, there may be some organic movements that say we're really going to be gathering together, but online in everything is really growing. So,
yep.
You know, with the launch of Facebook moving towards its Meta platform, and I'm sure that I almost assure you there will be churches this year that are doing VR services. They'll have virtual reality yeah. church services where you put on a headset and you're there. I think this is the year where that's going to become, it
yeah.
won't be common, but I think
right.
you'll see some churches that are actually doing it, and more power to them. I think that's really an exciting idea, at least. I'm not ready to say
yeah.
that is you know, the solution to the Great Commission there, but I'm interested
yeah.
to see what happens. But I don't know, what are your thoughts, Ian, on kind of this online attendance phenomenon we're seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, like you said at the very beginning of unpacking this, is that, you know, some people kind of don't almost consider it really counting, or they just don't know how to measure it. But I've talked to a lot of churches that have grown in this and seen growth through this.
Yeah.
And I think that we're still learning as a church, you know,
right.
you know, especially all the churches that were not doing this pre-pandemic, but started it. I've talked to churches that who do measure it. The churches that measure their online attendance see better results from it. And they also learn
sure.
how they can grow in it. Because if you see that, if you all of a sudden, instead of just pushing everyone to Facebook Live, nothing wrong with that. We recommend every church use Facebook Live and social media. But if you push everyone there, but you don't have an area on your site where it's streaming on your website, where people can maybe even fill out like an online connection card. We've seen mm-hmm. churches that they've added that one little thing, or they use a system that allows people to give raise hands emojis and hearts and those things whenever a pastor's preaching, you know, the church online platform. There's a lot of good ones out there. But you know, it, when you start using it and you start doing a little bit more, it will help your church grow in some way. Because imagine if you're, you know, you're streaming and someone fills out one of those connection cards, that could be one more person who's saved and is added into the fold to become some sort of a person engaged at your church. So
yeah.
So I think it's definitely worth taking seriously, making different efforts for it and measuring how those work.
Yeah, I think the part that we didn't figure out well was the assimilation part, right? So getting people
right.
to watch something like that, that's a metric that is really important. How many people are watching your services,
right.
watching
right.
your sermons online. I mean, in this YouTube generation, that's
yeah.
something that's really important.
Yep.
But like, it is an emoji raised hands the same as an altar
yeah.
call raised hands in person?
Right.
I don't, probably not yet, at least.
No.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying always never can it be that way, right? So it's not
yeah.
always that doesn't count. But I'm saying
yeah.
I have a hard time imagining that every one of those emoji raised hands is a person that's really having a Holy Spirit experience right then when they
right.
do that. Again,
yeah.
I'm an anti-emojitarian, right? Like, that's not
yeah.
my thing. I don't really do the emoji thing unless it's
yeah.
something that we've talked before about how they're really valuable in subject lines on
right.
emails. But in general, I don't use a lot of emojis out there. So I don't know. I still struggle. Like, because I think we all know that what we say online is different from what's happening in reality. Like if I put R-O, rolling on the floor laughing, or whatever that abbreviation is, R-O-L-F, R-O-F-L, whatever it is, you're not actually rolling on the floor laughing. If I say L-O-L, in most cases, people aren't actually laughing out loud. If people type in, I'm literally crying, in most cases, it means they're figuratively crying.
Yeah.
They're not actually crying in that case. So anyway, I think that it's... I think it's something we really need to be thinking through at your church. That should be the lesson from this year, is that your church needs to get serious about thinking through. The big question is not so much, can people watch online? Can we get that to happen? Because that's been proven. Like, we can see people watch online. The big question is, how do we turn online watchers into Christ-following disciples and that's people that are growing in their faith? And that really is the question, I think, for this entire generation that we're going to have to answer. So that is a trend. I hope it's something that you're wrestling with at your church. We'll probably do some ideas on how to, we do have a podcast episode that was about this. We maybe should refresh that here in the new year. I think at some point, Ian and I, you and I should do something like that. So anyway, something to work through.
Great. I'll get the next one, which is shifting gears here a little bit. That's attention to mental health. Yeah. We've been hearing about that with athletes. That's the first thing that came to mind. You had Simone Biles was the big one during the Olympics, and more and more athletes after that started coming about just with you know, confessions to not having the best mental health. But it's happening also within the church. Now, mental health has always been an issue. It's always been something that people have been struggling with, but we're seeing a trend of that becoming more of a topic and more of something that everyone's addressing in society. So I think churches need to have a plan in place and take action to really help these individuals that are dealing with this, and make sure your systems and what you have in place with staffing and so on and so forth are going to help these folks.
Yeah, that is really well said, Ian. I think this is something that is absolutely a trend that we have seen. Like a couple of years ago, people didn't ever talk about that, especially not in the church world. It was just starting to, you know, you saw a few high profile pastors talk about, like, you know, having nervous breakdowns and those things, that kind of stuff did happen. But like putting that mental health label on it, there was such a stigma attached to that. Like you were like, it basically was a death nail for your ministry. A lot of times, if you say, I have mental health issues, or I'm struggling with depression, or I'm struggling with anxiety. Like, you know, the idea, even like 10 years ago, would have been said, if you said, hey, I'm struggling with anxiety, well, someone would say, well, Jesus says, be anxious for nothing. So stop it. Like, that would be the response to that, right?
Yeah. And thank you.
So I think that we obviously have fresh eyes, and I hope you're not still saying, if you're leading a church, that's not the right answer to that question.
Right.
You know, Jesus does say that, and there is truth in that scripture.
That may come up eventually, for sure.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, no, that's it.
Of course.
But that's not helpful right now in most cases if people are really struggling with those things. So if you haven't been living under a rock, you realize that mental health is a topic for conversation. There is a lot of interest around it. I think it actually presents a very strong evangelism opportunity for churches. If you if you're the church of a size where you have the resources to have mental health professionals on your team, or even a mental health professional on your team, That would be an enormous evangelism opportunity, not to even mention the opportunity is for people within your church to have those kinds of services and have those things available to them at little cost, no cost, whatever that would be. It's something that, listen, your church has many people that need help in their mental health, like that's something that they're struggling with. You have people that are depressed in your church. You have people that have anxiety. You have people that have had suicidal thoughts in your church. You've had people with all number of mental issues happening in your church. And so I think this presents one of the biggest opportunities. Now, that being said, do not make the mistake that this is a an encouragement that or a license to say that you, as a pastor, of a church, are a mental health professional. Like, yes, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. There's things you can. You cannot call yourself a counselor in most cases, but we serve a wonderful counselor, and the Holy Spirit can give us wisdom to speak into these kinds of situations. situations, but do not make the mistake if someone comes to you and they are having suicidal thoughts or they are bipolar and they're dealing with some of those kinds of things. And yes, you still have a job. You can help with their spiritual health. You can be praying for them. You can speak into their life. You can speak truth. But part of that truth should also be that you encourage them to go see a professional that can help them in these areas here. So this is really an area that I think we've had, like, this is a shift that's taken place in churches. I think there are some churches that haven't quite made the leap just yet in this area, but it's something you have to really take seriously, just for legal reasons, first of all. There are major legal dangers if you're not careful in these areas here. But on top of that, I just think it's a huge opportunity for your people. Listen, they're looking for it. The people in your community are looking for mental health resources. Your church can point people to them or become them if you have the right kind of people within your team there. So yeah, huge opportunity, I'd say.
That's good. That's good. Why don't you get the next one?
Awesome. Next one is less is more. Less is more. And this has been a trend. I think that the pandemic, it really brought this on in a lot of ways. Because I think that in 20, we were maybe moving a little bit towards the less is more idea. But I think 2015, 16, we were in the more is more world. Like, that was, you know, the bigger we can do, the more smoke we could make in our services.
More ministry.
The more lighting that we have, the more ministries we offer, the more classes we have, the better we are as a church, the more people we can reach. And the fact is that for all but a couple of churches, or maybe, you know, a few dozen churches out there, you cannot really be all things to all people. And even the largest of large churches, they still struggle with this. That it's something that, you know, that you see diminishing returns on these things, and trying to be everything to everyone is really a challenging thing to do. So what we have seen as a trend is churches really starting to pick their lane. So first of all, you know, there are some things that if you're pastoring a church or if you lead a church needs to do a few things, right? It needs to be gathering people together, probably physically still, I think.
Yeah.
Even though they were ready for the online, but physically gathering people together for some kind of worshipful experience, teaching of the word, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
People are going to be involved in discipleship of some kind. So whether that's small groups or some other strategy you have, and giving people a place to serve and giving, these are the kind of things you need to hit those things. Like, you need to have solutions to how people serve, how they're discipled, how they give their life to Jesus, how they gather together. That kind of stuff has to happen in a church. Beyond that, you probably, I think there's a real trend, and we're finally getting it, that it's better if we focus really hard on one thing, or just getting those things right, or doing one thing really well, as opposed to trying to offer everything to everybody. So I know at the church I pastored last, there were so many different people that came to us and say, hey, I have this great idea for ministry. I'd like to do this service in the community. And we always were very open-handed, said, yes, please go and do that.
Yeah.
But our church isn't going to do that because we are totally and completely focused on, we did a ministry called Laundry Love. So we took over laundromats and we would provide free clothes washing, and we would just bless people that way that weren't able to get their clothes washed. And that's something that it really is kind of dehumanizing if you're living in dirty clothes because you can't afford to wash your clothes. So we felt that that's what Jesus would be doing. And we decided to put all of our outreach eggs into that basket. Again, we released people that felt like they were called to do something else. That was fine. But we put all of our attention there. So really only choosing a thing or two, or only choosing one discipleship path, in a lot of ways, that will get you better results than trying to have 12 discipleship paths. And here's 11 different ministries you can get involved in. And here's seven different options for your kids or whatever it would be. Do one well, do two well, instead of doing 75. That's the point.
Yeah, that's really good. And one little thing I'll add to that, and actually you and I have seen this and chuckled over the years, even though it's really kind of not funny, but in working with a lot of smaller churches, which we love to help because we're all about church growth. And so it's near and dear to our hearts when we come alongside of a smaller church that you know, we're able to help them numerically grow or grow in a lot of other areas. But I know there was a trend we'd come across, maybe it was a 30 to 50 member church, and they would list out that they had about 10 different ministries. Right. And you and I both would know, and I would almost chuckle inside. I'd be like, no, you really don't. You don't have, you know, you barely have enough people to lead each one of those ministries. Now, again, the heart behind that was pure for
all
those
for
churches.
It.
They absolutely, for, yeah. and they wanted to provide something for every person's stage of life. But again, what's the saying? Is it, I'll probably botch it a little bit, but when you try to be good at everything, you're no good at any one thing. Yeah. So, other than that, I think the other thing that came to mind when you were talking there is that when you're good at one thing, it makes you more memorable, and it actually kind of helps build your brand as a church. And what I mean by that is, wouldn't it be great to say, and just like that laundry love example you gave that you did at your last church, people would say, oh yeah, you guys are the church that wash people's clothes for free. How awesome is that to be remembered for something? And so I think that's also, you want to be memorable. And as we all know, when there's too much for someone to digest, they don't remember any one particular thing. So I think that's a good takeaway from it too.
Yeah, I think that's really it. I think that you need to do one thing. I think the way that, here's a way you can do a quick test at your church, because we see this all the time too, because we help churches with websites and we do a lot of consulting on websites and those things. Mm-hmm. How often do we open up that ministries tab and it's like, it's a drop down that goes down like this, right, of all the different ministries.
Yeah.
And then how often do we get on there and like, most of them have one sentence on that page, right? It says like, we offer men's ministry on Sundays once every quarter, right? So that's what it says there. Yeah. Like that's all they could possibly say about this ministry.
Yeah.
Perhaps, just perhaps, that's a good thing for our audience to do. Take a look, just a good way to test it is look at your website. If you have tons of ministries on there that are listed and you can't say more than one or two sentences about it, that probably is one you maybe need to take a hard look at and say, would we be better off investing more in these ministries that are really having a lot of momentum? People are coming to Jesus in them. We're serving our community with them. That's a really good test, I think.
That's good. Well, I'll bring us home with this last one, which is a very important one, which is there's a trend and a shift in where churches need to change their metrics. So a change of your metrics. So again, we talked about this in one of our past recent episodes that, you know, traditionally churches have tracked, you know, giving and physical attendance. Again, those are still important metrics, right?
Yep.
But a lot has changed over the years, and even pre-pandemic, there's been a lot of just shifts in the way that people do church, I should say. So, and the way that you lead a church and the way that people attend churches. So there's a lot of new things that we're going to kind of discuss and throw out there and dig into here briefly, that you should consider other than just attendance and giving and some of those traditional things. And you could probably expound on a few of these things. I know we put together a good little list here. So
yeah, I'll let you share some of the ones on the list. I think just the key term is engagement, right? So I think that making a move from measuring quantitative things like attendance and giving. And again, I want to be clear, we're not saying to stop counting giving. You need to count how much money comes in.
Yep.
Like that's important. You should measure it. You should set goals around it. You should try to increase it. All of those things are important. Same thing for attendance, measure it, count it, but just don't put certainly don't put your worth in it. I know a lot of us pastors struggle with that, is that we will preach a message and we just feel better if we preach to 500 people. We feel better than if we preach to 50 people, right? If we have an empty building, it makes us feel depressed on Sunday night because we preach to a smaller crowd. So fight that. That's not something we should do. And I think on top of that, it really is important that we take a look at some qualitative engagement type of metrics, things that measure how invested people are in our church. So I'll let you go ahead and hit the list, Ian. I know we came up with a handful there. So why don't you hit it?
Yeah. One is something churches should hopefully already be doing too, that have a small group ministry, but that's number of people in small groups. You definitely want to track that. That's a huge metric for church.
I think number and like the percentage of your church. I mean, that's easy to find once you find the number, but comparing your small group attendance with your Sunday attendance, right?
Yeah.
And I've seen some pretty bold claims from some mega churches out there. Like Saddleback famously says now that they have way more people in their small groups than they have on Sunday mornings. So, you know, it's interesting to measure. Yeah. I think that, you know, how you count that, it may be different for different churches there, but that's a big one.
Well, and that kind of leads to the next one. So number of people involved in a service. So that's what we have here as well. We have hours watched on YouTube. There's one. Yeah, number of shares on Facebook. Yeah. Traffic on your blog posts. Number of opens on your church emails. And there's more that we can expound on, but these are some ones to kind of consider and do differently.
Yeah, and all those things, again, they measure how engaged somebody is.
Engaged.
Like if someone, I could make someone, like I used to try these strategies is, hey, if you're on our church leadership team, please share our Facebook posts. Please do that. Yeah. You could ask people to do that. But really, if people are organically doing it, that means they're bought in, they're involved, that is, you are their church. If they're sharing you on Facebook, you know, on YouTube, it's so amazing because you can track how many hours or minutes or whatever it would be. You could track how much time people are spending. What a great measure of engagement. If you find that we get like 400 watches every Sunday for an average of 90 seconds, well, you can kind of measure that that's like not that engaged, right? If people are doing that. So you can really measure. The great thing is there's so many tools to measure engagement now. These kinds of digital ones are really great at it. So these are really important things. So shifting out, as a lot of churches probably right now, I know it's early in the new year and everything. Yep. So if you haven't already, you probably have some goals for your year, but take a look at what those metrics are and maybe considering adding some more of these engagement type metrics to see how engaged, how involved, how much, what people think about your church. That really is what matters now. There's a saying, because you know we're in digital marketing, obviously, Ian, is that we are competing for people's attention. And as much as I don't like that thinking for churches, I think it's kind of true, is that we are in this world now where there are so many things that compete for people's attention in their lives. There's 17 different streaming services you could be subscribed to, and your church online service is one thing that they can watch per week, but you're competing against things like, The Witcher or whatever it would be, or you're competing against video games or whatever whatever that is that's out there that people are watching. That's that when you're online, that's the competition. And you make a mistake to think, well, we are a physical church. We meet in person still. That's great. We're all for. You and I, again, we really love that idea of meeting in person there. But don't mistake thinking that you're not still like making something. I know it's different from watching something on Netflix, but that's the big competition, is that you have people's time, you have kids' sports and all those things in life that I think are leading to this decrease that we're seeing in people's overall, like there's been new studies from the Wall Street Journal that said that, again, that we're down to like almost 40% of people identify as not religiously affiliated right now.
Yeah.
And almost all of that decrease is from people that considered themselves Christians only 10 or 20 years ago. So we're seeing a decrease here because that is the world that we're competing in, is that we're competing in this world of so many different options, so much recreation, so much streaming, so much sports, so much travel. There's so many things that can be involved. So we really need to be measuring people's engagement. That's what it comes
down
to. That's
good. That's a good word to end with there.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for being part of our Reach Right family and kicking off your new year with this episode. Hope you guys had a great new year. If this has been helpful to you as you've been kind of looking at trends this year, it would mean so much to us if you would hit the like button for us. You would rate this, review it, subscribe to it, share it if you're watching this on a social media platform. Thank you guys so much for being part of our Reach Right family. Really, we couldn't do this without you. We thank you for all of your feedback and input and being a part of what we do here. We hope to catch you guys next week. Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Ready to get funky.